What a wonderful service you have ordained for us today, Father. I know it's in response to the expression of the hearts of your people in the commitments that we have made this past week. And I realize that you're simply honoring those commitments by manifesting your presence in such a powerful way. For that we thank you. You shared with us in Sunday school this morning how important obedience was, and that when obedience was manifest in our lives, that our joy would be full, and that we'd have the joy of Jesus in us in its fullness. And then in the next hour, you give us a lab on it, and you show us how it actually works. We thank you, Father, for the expression of your joy. Wonderful, wonderful joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Now we'd ask you to share with us from your holy word, undergird us with the strength of the word of God. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. May I ask you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. I shared portions from this passage with the stewardship counselors on the night that they and their wives made their commitments to the Lord for the next year in terms of talent and time and financial resources. There's one particular facet of this story that I want to share with the congregation at large this morning, and then I want to amplify it with a couple of other passages from Scripture. I want to explain something to you. It may be new to some of you, to others it will simply reinforce and confirm how you're feeling today and why. King David's desire was to build a temple for God. He wanted to build an habitation, a dwelling place for God. It was a deep desire, and he had accumulated substantial resources, materials, and so on in order to do so. He had the plan. God had shown him the plan, how it was to be built and all. But when it came time to build it, the Lord said that David was not to be the one to construct, but rather Solomon would be the one, David's son. In the 29th chapter, David receives an offering from the people. We're going to begin reading this morning in the third verse. He begins with his own offering, and as we're going down through there, let me just tell you that the amount that David gave was somewhere around $100 million. $80 million worth of gold and $20 million worth of silver is the best estimate I can make on the basis of what the money was worth at that time. After he did, then did also the leaders and the rulers of the congregation, and then the people themselves gave sacrificially and very substantially into this work. And I want you to see what resulted. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. Do you notice why they gave? Because they loved God and they loved his work. I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Not just the materials that I gathered up specifically, but of my own personal fortune. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly. because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. I'm going to read some more, but do you notice how the people responded? They responded with great rejoicing. The people, as well as the leadership, had great joy. We're told the people rejoiced and the king also rejoiced. That's what's happening to me today. I just feel like David. As I look out on this congregation and I see the spirit that is in your heart, and as I see how you are willing to give, how you have given in the past, and how you plan to give in the future, and my heart is just filled to overflowing, and I feel like I'm having a Davidic experience here today. I trust you're having an Israeli experience, if I could say it like that, as the people did here on that day. Now, it's most unfortunate, but that in the majority of our churches, any talk about money or giving or stewardship generally produces a kind of, oh, not that all over again. Every time I turn around, they want my money. And that kind of thinking and that kind of talk. But that is not what true Bible stewardship is intended to produce. When you begin to walk in stewardship as the Word of God instructs, you will find a rejoicing experience in your life, not just on a Sunday morning, but I'm talking about a day-to-day kind of rejoicing in your life. There is a great satisfaction in knowing that you're walking in the will of God. To know the will of God and to not do it, your spirit won't leave you alone. But when you know the will of God and you're doing it, there will be a great joy in your heart, a great rejoicing there. These people gave substantially and sacrificially. David gave, as I said, $100 million. You say, well, that might not have meant very much to him. Listen, $100 mil is $100 mil, you know, regardless of who you are and how much you've got. And the people gave more yet into the work, more yet to the house of God. And do you notice their reaction, their response? When they put it all together and they saw how much there was, what did they do? They rejoiced because they had given it willingly, and their heart was perfect towards the Lord in this willing offering. Therefore, they had great joy. Verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. What's David saying? What I gave you was yours in the first place. I'm simply giving back to you a portion of what you've entrusted to me. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. What do you think caused this wonderful praise to go up from the congregation this morning? What's different today? It's stewardship time. You've made your commitments. Most of you have made your commitments of time and talent and ability. And God's honoring that with the loosing of His Spirit in this place, and it causes your hearts to be full, and it causes praise to rise. Wonderful, abundant praise. I can still feel it, can't you? Hallelujah. But who am I, David said, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. David's reminding himself, as he expresses the wonder of it all, that the reason that he and the people are able to give so generously is because God has blessed them so richly and so abundantly. It was his in the beginning. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there's none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, you notice his confidence here? I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said unto all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshipped the Lord and the King. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks. Listen to this now. This is just because of their love for God. This wasn't anything they were going to get any benefit. They took 1,000 bulls, offered them to the Lord, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. Sacrificial giving will produce a rejoicing spirit. Now turn with me, if you will, please, to Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. And let me read a few verses from this passage. You will see the same basic flow. Deuteronomy chapter 12, beginning in the fifth verse. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds, and of your flocks. Now most of those in our churches today would change the next verse to read something like this. And after you have decided to give it, and when you are giving, you will have great remorse because of the loss you are feeling and the amount, the substantial amount that you and your family are going to be deprived of. And you will just have to learn how to adjust to live on what you have left because it's right. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all that you put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. You shall not do after all the things which we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. And he goes on to instruct them further. Now in the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy, this one final reference from the Old Covenant. There's an interesting insight in this passage. Deuteronomy 16, reading from the 9th verse and reading 4 verses. 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee, beginning to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. And thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God, with a tribute of the freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. And thou shalt rejoice. Do you notice the power of those words? Thou shalt rejoice. This is not a command to rejoice. This is an advisory as to what will happen. It's like a weather forecast. If you give, and give willingly, according to the will of God, it will produce a quality of gladness in your heart that is almost inexplicable. Thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. Verse 12 is the interesting insight that I mentioned just a moment ago. And thou shalt remember that thou wast, past tense, a bondman in Egypt. And thou shalt observe to do these statutes. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. From whence does this rejoicing spring? It springs in the land of Israel. It springs from a remembrance that it used to be that you were a slave in Egypt and everything you had belonged to Pharaoh. None of it was yours. You couldn't use any of it the way you wanted to. You were a slave. You and everything you owned belonged to Pharaoh. Now you're free. I have set you free with a mighty arm of deliverance. I've delivered you from Egyptian bondage, and I have delivered you from Pharaoh's oppression. Now that which you have is yours to use and to enjoy. These offerings that you give to me are a joyous thank offering for what I have done for you. I don't know how it was with you, but I can tell you how it was with me before I met Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was Satan's bondman. I was a slave of hell. And everything I owned, he had possession of. I went from payday to payday, made good money, and never had anything to show for it. He caused me to spend my money on cigarettes, alcohol, frivolous things, that which didn't make any difference as far as eternity was concerned, and certainly did not add to the joy of my life. I found I couldn't save anything. I couldn't accumulate much. Every time I would get an increase, it was already spent. We moved from city to city, and just about the time we would buy a new home in every city, and just about the time that we would get our income to the place where the home was now comfortable, we would always buy a home that was too expensive for us. We could never afford to put furniture in it. It was difficult for us to put carpet and drapes in it. I don't know if we've ever had a house that we had fully carpeted before the one that we moved into now. We'd live in the house about 2 years, and just about the time that our income would begin to rise to the place where we could now start to buy a little furniture and buy a little carpet and put some nice drapes, we were now promoted to a place where the cost of living was 40% higher. Anybody ever experienced that? And we lived like that for 15 years, making money, but never having much to really show for it, always in debt, always in bondage, always, at that time, giving very little to the cause of Christ, very little to the cause of the gospel. But one day Jesus set me free. And he delivered me from the bond servanthood to the devil. He delivered me from Egypt. And he set me free to a joyous service of the Lord. Now we're able to give substantially into the kingdom of God. We have a house that is fully carpeted. We have so much furniture in some of our rooms that we've got to move some of it out. Hey, is that right? I'm looking over here for confirmation. This is my lovely wife over here, for those of you that don't know her, sings that wonderful alto over there in the choir, and she's going like this. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. You're not anymore. And our offering to God is a joyous thank offering to him. Let me show you one other scripture, please, from the New Testament. And then I'm going to ask the chairman of our stewardship program to come and to share the results of our activities over the last couple of weeks. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 9, reading just one verse, and that is the 7th. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 9, the 7th verse. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, For God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful is an interesting word. It is the translation from the Greek word hilaros, H-I-L-A-R-O-S. It is the Greek root from which we derive our word hilarious. The word literally means willing, merry. Ultimately, it means hilarious. Every man, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves the quality of giving in us, which is willing, joyous, merry, and hilarious. When you give according to the standard of the Bible, you will give with such joy that it will bubble up in your heart into great gladness and perhaps even laughing. It is quite appropriate for you to get so happy over your gift that you would laugh. Yes, laugh yourself silly. God loves the kind of a giver who can give in that way, with that kind of joy, that kind of gladness, and that kind of merry. Elder Claire Eskew is our elder responsible for stewardship instruction, education, the stewardship program, and the financial ministry of the financial administration of the affairs of the church, and has been ever since this work was founded, has done a credible and excellent job for us. I want to commend him publicly for his service in that area, both in working with us and encouraging us and coordinating the activities that would exhort us to deeper levels of stewardship, and also his faithfulness in keeping us everything decent and in order as far as our financial workings are concerned. I'm going to ask Claire if he will come at this time and share with us what's happened this week, Claire, and update us on the results. I think you have some new results, don't you? Come now, if you will, please.
Before I get to the update on the stewardship report, these last couple of weeks with the counselors has really been a blessing as they've gone out in the homes, and particularly last week where they've been out in the homes calling upon families and bringing back reports telling us about their visits, not mentioning names. When they come back every night and they report, but they don't give names, they just give their testimony on their visits and then the amount of money. And it really is. It's a shame that all of you couldn't sit in on hearing these testimonies every night as they come in about the families and how they gave sacrificially last year, and this year they're going to increase it sacrificially again this year because the Lord has done so much for them. And you just keep getting higher and higher each night as it goes along. You wait with great anticipation for the next night to hear these great, wonderful reports, particularly from the new people that have never been in this stewardship program. I'm looking at just got through looking at a couple of them, and a particular one guy had went out and never, when he came, he had never tied before. And then, of course, after the program came Friday night, he made a commitment. Like the rest of us, when we first started tithing, your knees are knocking because you don't have any idea where this money is going to come from, because it just doesn't work out on paper. And as Robert Rutherford says, you're going to believe paper, you're going to believe God's word. But anyhow, he and his wife made a commitment to tithe, and all that during that week of training, the Lord was showing him in the Word about tithing. And the following week, he sent him out to demonstrate to him from families what tithing was all about. So he got taught again from these families, particular families called on. And he'd come back just filled with joy that he could hardly speak. And then I found out just recently that the Lord has given him a raise, a substantial raise, which I'm sure will probably cover his tithe. So he's... If you see some guy that's about 10-5 walking around here, that's Jerry Allen. So he's really blessed this year, and he was hesitant when somebody called about him being a stewardship counselor, but he's already given me his name for next year. And some others, my wife ran across a lady in a grocery store that had a call from one of the counselors, and I think they had just a few dollars left to buy groceries, but from two unexpected sources, and one for, I think, about $300 from a commission check she didn't know that was coming in, came in, and also some insurance refund, which they didn't know they were getting. So the Lord is already starting to fulfill the word, what he says in Malachi 3:10. He says, you prove me and I'll show you. And he's already starting to do that. It just blesses me that we can't hardly get the stewardship program over with, and he's already starting to get the windows cranked up and already dumping these blessings out. So I'm really excited about this year. It was different this year. I was telling Vic, this year it seems to be a little low key. And it has been, but as I see the figures, they're not low key. And God's not low key, but it's been a wonderful 2 weeks. We still have some calls that have not been made yet, so you people, the counselors in particular, make sure you go ahead and make those calls. And the people that have not been able to be home, please make sure you try to make arrangements to be home at least in the next couple of weeks or so, or a week anyhow. So it's been a tremendous week. These counselors really blessed me, particularly the new ones that have never been in the program before. I mean, if you see anybody's eyes about this big, you know, they just see some things they've never seen before. And it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful week. Anyhow, let me update you on the stewardship report. The pledging families went from 78 to 83. And then the tithing families from 75 to 78. The figures, now that grand, that total, there's this grand total weekly, is now $6,231.50. And then we also received tithes and offerings from the children this morning in the Sunday school classes. And that amount came to $43.50. And the grand total, and of course this is really not all the pledges in yet, is $6,275 a week, which is annualized, or if you multiply that by 52, is $326,300. That's a lot of work for the Lord this year. A lot of work for the Lord. And I know the Lord is the God that obviously has called us into being a giving church. I think he's proven that to us. And you're a giving people. And the Lord, I know, is going to be, and that's not the bottom line yet either. Because like I said, we still have 12 unreported families. And there's no telling what the Lord plans on doing this year. And I'm waiting anxiously to see what he does. And all the praise and glory and honor certainly goes to him, so that he's found willing hearts and us willing to give and us willing to sacrifice our time and our talents. And I praise God that you people are like you are, because we can work together and do this tremendous work that he has us to do. I'm just glad he's made us, allow me to be just a part of it. And I know you feel the same way. I think at this time, if all the stewards, and they don't know this yet, if all the stewardship counselors would come down front and ask Elder Don Brown if he would bring the pledge cards and the commitment cards with him when he comes down front. If you'd come down now and ask the pastor to pray over the cards. All the stewardship counselors.
Congregation, I want you to get your Bibles back up, and I want you to open in them to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 once again. I want to begin our prayer today with the prayer that David prayed, or a portion of it. And I want you to pray aloud with me, please, starting in the middle of the 10th verse. Blessed be thou, and pray through the 13th. We'll just pray the word of God. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Father, we thank you for the work of these counselors, for the moving of your Spirit in them and through them to bring to us the challenge of the Word of God with regard to stewardship. We thank you for the power and the anointing of your word, which has broken yokes, has broken down barriers, has broken doubt and uncertainty, and in some cases perhaps even broken unbelief, and has loosed in us a confidence and a faith and an assurance and a security that you're a God of your word, that you will do what you promised to do, that you are faithful. We rejoice to have this opportunity, Father, to express ourselves in the form of these commitments. We thank you for using these men, these counselors, to come and to share their hearts with us, to share their understanding of the biblical basis of stewardship, and to challenge us and to encourage us and to exhort us to join with them in taking you at your word and trusting you, and in some cases, in even testing you, putting you to the test. We thank you, Father, for the ability and the capacity to fulfill these commitments, to produce on our commitments of time and ability as well as finances, for we know that you're the one that gives us the power to get well, that all things are yours, that you simply give us a portion of what you have, and that if we are able to give so substantially and so willingly, it is a credit not to us, it's a credit to you. It's a praise to your holy name that you have enabled us to do so. Father, we take authority now over the forces of darkness. And Satan, we bind you in the name of Jesus from the finances and from the time and from the abilities of our people. In Jesus' name, we bind your activities and your schemes, and we render them null and void and without effect. All of your plans and schemes back on your own head, devil, in the name of Jesus. You will loose God's people, you will loose their finances, and you will loose the channels by which our Heavenly Father means to bless us. In Jesus' name, we require it and command it. Father, we're grateful to you for authority to use that name of Jesus to bind our enemies, to wage successful warfare against the forces of darkness. We pray also, dear Father, for wisdom and for insight and for vision for our pastor and for our elders and for any and all of those who are involved in the administration of the finances of this body, in the determining where and how you would have these funds to be invested in the work of your kingdom. For we know that when you return, you want to see increase. You want to see gain. You want to see things grow. And the way you want them to grow is by doubling and tripling and beyond. We need your wisdom and we need your vision and we need your insight to know what you'd have done with these very substantial sums of money. Father, we thank you that for the assurance we have that when we pray, we know that you hear us. We know that if you hear us, that we've obtained the petitions that we have made of you. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name forever and ever. We want you to know that all that we've been doing and all that we will do in fulfilling these commitments is simply because of a joyous response to your deliverance and your salvation. We love you so much. There isn't anything that we wouldn't give as you lead us and enable us. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen.